You're listening to The Stressless Life with Dr. Yip, a podcast about conquering your fears and overcoming anxiety. Our question for the day is, what is dating anxiety, and why are we so afraid of love? I am your host, Noah Larracy. Let's say hello to Dr. Yip.
Hi, Noah.
Dr. Yip is a licensed psychologist who's board certified in behavioral and cognitive therapy and an expert in the treatment of anxiety and OCD. This is our third episode in a series on social anxiety, but unlike social anxiety or performance anxiety, dating anxiety is not an official diagnosis, is it?
No. There's no DSM diagnosis about dating anxiety. It is pretty much a subset of people who experience social anxiety.
Now, do you encounter a lot of patients with dating anxiety in your practice?
Let's just say that many people who come in with social anxiety at the Renewed Freedom Center also suffers from dating anxiety. It's kind of like two peas in a pod.
So dating is pretty anxiety provoking for anyone. So I would imagine that someone who suffers from anxiety, this is going to be a real area of potential problems.
Yes, definitely. If you can imagine what social anxiety is. So again, what we talked about last time with social and performance anxiety, it's about your fear of being rejected, your fear of being perceived negatively, your fear of not being accepted, not being liked. And what better avenue to be rejected and not being accepted than in the dating world, right?
Right. So dating anxiety doesn't apply necessarily to while you're on dates. It can be anxiety about potentially meeting people, potential dating partners while you're on the date. It could be afterwards. It could be the whole
thing. It could be anything about dating. It could be about your desire to date and your inability to even get in that word, get in that look because you're afraid you'd be rejected.
Yeah, one of the scary things about dating is the fact that you're never quite sure if the other person likes you or not.
Well, yes, there's definitely an emotional risk involved to dating, right? That you're putting yourself out there in the hopes that the person reciprocates your feelings. And the reality is you never know. In the dating world, the uncertainty level is skyrocketing.
On the other hand, unlike some of the other anxiety disorders, dating anxiety, there's also an element of excitement about not knowing.
Yes, of course. Imagine if you live your life and you already know what's going to happen every single moment of your life. Wouldn't that be quite a boring life? And it's kind of like the movie, The Groundhog Day, right? You've already done it over and over again. So there's definitely no excitement or joy to that. And part of uncertainty is that unknowingness. Is that, wow, I wonder what will happen. I wonder if she'll like me. I wonder if he'll feel the same about me. And it's that not knowing that breeds that excitement. Or you can always feel it as anxiety too.
Let's talk about some ways in which dating anxiety might show up in someone's life. How would someone know if they are suffering from dating anxiety?
Well, I can say that if you suffer from social anxiety and you're afraid of being rejected or not liked, and it transpires into the dating world, then you pretty much have dating anxiety as well. So then the question is, are you taking the risks? Are you going out there and taking those emotional risks to put yourself out there, to be a little vulnerable, to experience that anxious excitement of not knowing whether the person will reciprocate your feelings, or are you completely avoiding even the topic of dating? So if you are avoiding, then that is a huge sign that you might have dating anxiety.
So many years ago, when I was in fifth or sixth grade, I had to take ballroom dancing classes. And all the guys had to get up on one side and then the girls on the other. And then you had to walk across this long gym floor and ask a girl to dance. And I remember as that being really like the longest walk you ever had to take, right? Mm-hmm. It was just very, very, very scary because you never knew what kind of reaction you were going to get. Sometimes there might be like an eye roll. There might be some sort of a message that maybe you weren't their first choice or maybe they wanted someone else.
Sure.
And I would often think about this, not wanting to actually go the following week, not have to experience that whole feeling again. Mm-hmm. It was, I remember that as being very, very unpleasant.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if that gets easier as you get older. I don't know if you can ever get over that initial fear that you have as a child or a young person when you first have to make whatever sort of walk across the gym that you have to make.
And that is a great metaphor for what we all experience in the dating world. And this is true whether we're talking about dating in person or dating online or dating anything, right? The goal is to reach out and see if that feeling is reciprocated. And that is what people experience. I don't see anything wrong with it. I think to try to escape or avoid that feeling is the same as Groundhog Day. You're taking the excitement out of dating. Then what's the point of dating?
One of the suggestions I've heard, or some of these dating schools will do, is they'll have their quote-unquote students go out and just get rejected 30 or 40 times.
Yes.
Go and ask people for dates, right? Mm-hmm. Is that something you would suggest for people?
Well, one of the things that we do, and I think we spoke about this last time, is for social anxiety, we do social anxiety exposures. And what that means is that we actually take you out here on Sawtelle Boulevard, and we go and we do silly things, and the goal is to be rejected so that the experience of rejection isn't so catastrophic. Because the reality is, in a lifetime, you're going to get rejected many a times. And that doesn't mean that you need to hop off the boat. It means that you need to get used to the feeling of rejection and not let it interfere with your confidence. So you have to practice. Just like anything, you have to practice.
Practice being rejected.
In this case, yes, practice being rejected.
So I imagine there's some listeners out there that are saying, no matter how much I practice getting rejected, it's still going to really, really hurt. And I don't want to go out and do it 10 times. I know it's going to be awful, and I'd rather just avoid all that.
Well, see, here's another problem with society, and this is probably a topic for another session later. It's this idea that we can't experience difficult emotions. It's the idea that our society today has a hard time experiencing difficult emotions. And without emotions, we're not human. Emotions give us information in terms of what we're experiencing. Even though I've said in the past that emotions are mostly irrational, they're still valid. They give us information. So what is wrong with feeling this challenging emotions? If you're able to experience the emotion, tolerate it, you're actually a lot stronger than the person who escapes. So that means being able to tolerate whatever discomfort comes your way.
Fair enough. But maybe I just don't want to feel that way right now or today.
Or ever.
Today or tomorrow. Maybe at some point in the future, I'll maybe okay with feeling that way.
That sounds like procrastination to me.
That's a topic for another episode.
Yes.
Now, so let's just say you've be able to overcome your fear or walk through it, and you're able to get an actual date. You're out on the date and you're very, very anxious, right? You obviously are going to be suffering from dating anxiety a lot while on a date, right? So how would you get through it?
Well, I think the first thing is to put aside your expectation of what this date is supposed to be and just be in the present of what you're experiencing with your date. One thing that I work a lot with my patients is about mindful communication. And mindful communication means that you are in the present. You're not just hearing the person. You're hearing and you're processing what the person is saying. And remember, verbal communication accounts for a very small amount of communication. The majority of communication comes from facial expression, body language, your tone. There's so much that comes into communication that if you just rely on verbal communication, you're going to miss a lot of information that's being communicated to you. So being mindful, the problem that a lot of people experience is that they are mentally editing what they're going to say in order to keep the conversation going, to keep the conversation interesting. And the truth is, sometimes silence is golden. You know, you can be silent and be a little reflective of what the other person just said, nod, that's quite interesting, and then formulate your response rather than editing in the moment, to which if you're doing that, you're going to miss a lot of the communication that you're receiving. So yes, being mindful is very, very important in terms of getting over the anxiety of dating.
I would imagine that while on a date, you're going to be constantly wondering, is this date going well? Right? You're going to be evaluating it, right? Is this going well? I don't know. Just a person like me. How would you suggest someone answer those questions or deal with those questions?
I suggest not even thinking about those questions. Why are you thinking about the question to begin with? Why are you even judging whether the date is going well or not? And just because you think a date is going well doesn't mean that your date thinks the same thing. Or if you think the date isn't going well, that doesn't mean that your date thinks the same thing. Again, I think what's happening is that we're putting so much pressure on dating. And dating is supposed to be this formal or informal way of getting to know the other person, to see if there's something about this person that you'd want to pursue. So if you think about it more of as an interview than a date, then perhaps the expectations and these unrealistic standards would be more diminished.
My only sort of objection to that would be that most interviews do not have the potential for sex or nakedness at the end of them.
Well, so what makes you think that there's going to be sex and nakedness at the end of a date?
Well, not expect, but what it's certainly going to be in your mind, right? Whether that is a possibility or they're kissing,
yes,
or whatever, Is this person expecting to kiss? Are they expecting to maybe go further? What is getting expected of me? Am I going to have to perform? Am I going to have to take my clothes off? Are they going to have to take their clothes off? There are all these questions that inevitably are going to come up if you're attracted to the person.
Sure. And again, having all of these questions ruminate in your mind prematurely is going to be a setup for failure. And what's important is for people to understand that intimacy and physical attraction takes time. It means that even if you're physically attracted to someone, doesn't mean it has to end up in sex right away. In fact, that's what's wrong with our generation today, the millennials today. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be physically intimate. In fact, being physically intimate takes a lot of emotion to be in that space. So you can have sex without the physical intimacy. However, if we're talking about making love, which, that's a scary term, that's a whole different experience.
Would you suggest that if someone is anxious on a date, that they actually tell the other person that they're anxious?
I think it depends. I think it depends on who this person is, who you are, and are you able to be lighthearted about it? If you come across as, I'm really anxious and I don't know what to do, and you'll just have to tell me what to do, and do you like this and do you like that, then you become that person who isn't able to make any decisions, isn't able to take charge, and that's not very sexy. However, if you can come across as, I really like you and I can't believe how anxious I am about meeting you, about going out on our first date, that can actually be sexy, because there's something attractive about someone else being vulnerable, and being vulnerable because of you. That is very attractive.
Men and women, does their anxiety show up in different ways on dates?
You know, I would say that anxiety show up in different ways in all people. I wouldn't say that it shows up differently specifically between the group men and women.
So let's just say you've made it through the date and it's over and you've left and you're home for the night. And then maybe for the next couple of days, you're wondering how it went. Maybe you haven't heard from the person. That's a whole other form of anxiety, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, the dating world is a game. I don't like to play that game. Thank goodness I don't have to play that game anymore. Though I do remember times when I really liked somebody and they took their 3 days, which was typical back in my days, to call me back. And I remember there'll be people who called me right away. And I would say that it really depends on how I felt about the other person. If the feeling was mutual, so if I enjoyed the other person's presence just the same, then I would actually appreciate that immediate call. It shows that person's interest and intent in getting to know me. Whereas if it's someone who, you know, I had a good time, however, you know, I didn't really see much of a connection on an intimate level, then it wouldn't matter to me whether the person called me right away or took 3 days or took 10 days or never called for that matter. So I think it really depends on who the person is that you're contacting. Though the moral of that explanation is, you know what, if you like someone, why play the game? Why not just let the person know that you're interested? And if that person doesn't reciprocate, well, at least you know that. I can definitely tell you that if someone likes you, it doesn't matter whether you call them today after the date or tomorrow or the 3-day typical response, they'll still reciprocate the same feelings. Now, of course, if you don't call back till like 5, 6, 7 days later, that will definitely have a negative effect on the person.
So let's talk about breaking up with people or telling someone that you don't like them from both sides of the table. So
breaking up? What do you mean breaking up?
Well, let's just say you're going to tell someone you're on a date and you're decide that you're not interested in them, but you're afraid you're going to hurt their feelings.
Oh,
right?
Well, that's not breaking up, though. Breaking up is if you're already in a relationship and you want to end that relationship, right? So again, I want to make sure that people understand that dating is just that, dating. You are on a date to get to know somebody, to see if you want to be in something more long-term and committed. So there's not a need to break up a date, right? You just decide whether you want to continue on the second day, a third day, and then eventually whether you're going to be a couple or not.
I imagine some people, though, might have anxiety about telling someone else that they're not interested.
Okay.
So how would you suggest that they tell people that they're not interested in the way that they don't maybe hurt the other person's feelings or at least get the whole thing done quickly as possible?
Well, I think the straightforward answer, the straightforward statement is the best approach because you're not leaving any room for vagueness. You're not leading anyone on. You're taking accountability and ownership of where you stand in this process and you're not being a coward. Whereas if you kind of just drag it on, you're not being really honest, you're keeping the person on as your friend, you're really leading the person on, and that actually doesn't do the person justice. That is actually worse than telling the person, you know, I really like you, however, I don't see myself being intimate with you. That's a very straightforward, clean response, right? I like you. I think I would have a great time hanging out with you. I just don't see myself being intimate with you. I just don't see myself connecting with you on an intimate level.
So let's take it from the recipient's point of view. And you've just received the news from someone. Let's just assume that you liked this person and you've received the news that they don't like you. That's obviously going to hurt a great deal. What would you suggest that they do to kind of get through that or walk through that? Should they go back and start dating right away? Should you go lick your wounds for a couple of days? What do you suggest?
What I would say is that there are going to be many rejections. And just like what we talked about earlier, is you have to practice rejection. So rather than thinking of this as another rejection and you have to go lick your wound, think of it as you're practicing. This is just a rejection that you're going to add to your bag to prepare for the next one, to prepare for the one whom will finally come around who's not going to reject you. And to be honest with you, if I was still in the dating world, and I met somebody and that person told me that the person wasn't interested, I would prefer to be told early than to get my emotions mixed up and then be rejected afterwards.
So Dr. Yip, you just pull that Band-Aid right off.
I would rather pull that Band-Aid right off than have it peel off slowly, which is more painful to me.
Next time, we'd like to talk a little bit about some of these new dating sites and some of these new dating apps and how the young kids are doing it these days. Because I'm very intrigued by this. So is that something you'd be into discussing?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, great. Well, that's all the time we have for today, though. Thank you for listening to the Stressless Life podcast. You can join the discussion and find more information at www.dryip.com/thestresslesslife. Please write to us with questions and comments at thestresslesslife@dryip.com. Until next time, stay stressless.